Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1 transponder 7, 7.56 audio. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. I get phone calls from people all the time wanting to know, why is it that we can't wake up the young people? What are they thinking? Where are their heads? What's going on with our young folk? Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take you to a conversation, in the middle of one, in fact, of a group of young people that I know personally, who have been awakened through the efforts of each other, through the efforts of the Hour of the Time, through their own research, and because they're intelligent, smart young people who are beginning to see the loss of their future taking place right before their eyes. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
To me. I think, you know, like most people, I just thought, well, you know, that's just the government, nothing we can do. But I think the most interesting thing in the beginning was UCC 1-07. How do I get out of those parking, not parking tickets, but speeding tickets,
moving
violations? You know, how is I going to save money?
Yeah,
I think, you know, that's what my most major concern was, you know, just how to save money and, you know, what was affecting me right now, right now, this moment, not thinking about anything about the future, not thinking about anything about where this country is going.
Of course.
You know, how we as young people can, fight what's going on.
Well, most of them don't even know what the hell is going on.
Well, yeah, I think that's the point. Most people don't.
You know, I showed you that the Waco tape at my house. After you watched it, you know, I had seen it a few times. I was like, how can anyone watch this and not get enraged? I mean, this is, people died there, they were burned. It was complete BS what they told us on TV, unless you really know the truth. And you see these public relations people on TV just lying through their teeth. And then when I show it, I try to show it to as many people as I can.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I did too. You know, but I think what happens most of the time is they see it, they're upset, but they just go, oh, well, yeah, exactly. You know, it's the government. They've always been like that. You know, I'm just one individual person. Hey, it's not affecting me, so, you know, why do I have to worry about it now? You know, it was happening somewhere else in the somewhere else in the world.
Uh-huh.
What does it matter? It doesn't affect me. That's our government. You know,
that's why I gave you the UCC packet, because I knew that people, especially our age, would want something. Oh, how do I get a ticket? You know, and when I go and speed around and people go, hey, aren't you going to get a ticket? I go, I don't care. I know how to get out of them. You know, tickets don't mean anything to me. I go, oh yeah, what's that? You know, and I draw them in like that. Start talking about other things like the Federal Reserve. I'm like, what's that?
Yeah. At first, everyone's a little hesitant to believe that something like this can go on and it can be real. Everyone just, you know, tries to turn the other way and not think that it'll affect them in the future.
Because then they'll be responsible for what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants that, you know. They want to go out of their way. They just want to, you know, make their money, go home, watch the movie, and go to sleep or whatever.
Yeah, that's all I want to do was to make money. As soon as I got out of college, I wanted to just concentrate on my career, how to get where I wanted to be, how to get rich fast and retire early, you know. And then other people say, oh no, why don't you just find a rich husband, you know, that will take care of a lot of things.
But how do you tell people what's really wrong with this country? How do you start?
Sometimes I at a coffee shop, I pull out a dollar bill, turn around to the back and go like, what's this pyramid doing here? There's no pyramid in the United States.
And did you ever bring up
the
Constitution, what that's all about?
Mm-mm, because in the beginning I didn't know very much about it myself.
I think it's hard to start people off with the Constitution. I usually start with what's going on in the world currently, like right now with assault weapons. Yeah.
Yeah, basic things. What's really going on? The laws that are being passed right now. Our rights being slowly taken away, but you know, rights that most people don't think about because they think it's not going to affect them. But what are you going to do when it does start affecting you?
Bart, I'd like to throw in here, we went to high school together, and we've known each other for a long time, and some of the conversations that we have now between us and our friends and our family, it's quite different than how it was when we were going to high school, and I'd just like you to throw in some of your opinions there. And
yeah, we used to just go watch movies and go to sneak previews and talk about aspect ratios of widescreen movies and who started what and how many movies they were in and race cars and do that stuff. Nothing wrong with that, but when you're looking at our future.
Using your freedom.
And well, how about when we, when we go to those parties on Fridays and Saturdays, for those young yuppies, young professionals, what do they ask you all the time? So, what do you do for a living?
No, they ask you, oh, what school did you graduate from? Then they ask you, what are you doing?
What's your major?
I mean, don't you think it's really fantastic that what we're doing and what we're trying to help people to do to save freedom for the world, basically? Because, I mean, if if we lose freedom in the United States, that's going to be the end of freedom to the world. And I just think it's really fantastic that we're doing something that's so much more important than going to USC or UCLA and making $1 million a year. We're standing up for freedom. It's a, you know, it's something that we're going to do that a lot of people are going to be too afraid to. They're going to run in the corner, and we're going to be their protection. And I feel really good about what I'm doing and what I'm going to do in the future, because I know that this is the most important thing, and school doesn't mean anything compared to saving freedom.
I still remember when we didn't even really, really know what freedom really was.
That's right, because we weren't taught it. I mean, we went to high school together. We had classes together. We weren't taught the Constitution. We weren't taught anything. Basically, what we were taught is that everything in the world happened by accident, and the politicians don't lie, and everybody's working for you, and nothing can possibly be wrong.
I know. Well, another thing is that so many people come from other countries and expecting so much from the U.S. you know, U.S. of A. because it's supposed to be the greatest country in the world. You know, there's so many opportunities for us, so many hopeful futures for all the young people in the world, and to find out that all these things that's gonna happen.
You know, it's really hard to grasp. This country is the greatest in the world, and we have all the opportunities and freedoms. But people always think that it's about money. You know, the country is great for other reasons than how much money you can make, and the freedom is not really freedom to set my own hours and do the kind of work I want to do. It goes a lot deeper than that. But too many people think, oh, this is the greatest country, and you can do anything you want, and they all think of it in a money way.
Well, that's why we're trying to talk to people right now, try to inform them that, the main thing now is to survive and, try to knowledge ourselves and to learn as much as we can now about what we have as rights, because it might just be taken away from you just like that, and what are you going to do then?
Exactly.
Being born in this country, you take the word freedom as a given. You don't realize that it's something that separates the United States from any other country around the world. You see all these things happening, people getting killed, people not even having rights, communist countries. Being born in Los Angeles, you're raised with freedom, and to be told that it's going to be taken away from you in a matter of, moments, it's unbelievable. It's what they say, there's followers and there's leaders, and I've been a follower for the past 22 years, and just about a month ago, I've decided to take the initiative to become a leader of my own behalf, a leader, exactly, not being told what to do, and basically finding out for myself, researching all the information that I can. And when I was introduced to this information, my brother, started feeding me bits of information little by little, and I used to laugh at him. He's crazy. Who in the heck is telling you this stuff?
Now you know why we give information really little bit at a time and not jump into mystery Babylon or think we're a wizard's freak. So you give people a little stuff like how to get out of the ticket to pique their interest, so they become interested about something that they would consider boring. When you talk about money and people get interested about their own money, you talk about saving on taxes or becoming a state citizen so that they could have a lot more things, especially when it comes to money, like taxes and the IRS.
Yeah, because that's really good. Cause, if they start looking for you said about the taxes, and they might run into something else that can be helpful to them in the future. Some other things that they can.
How the country is stolen by the Federal Reserve, and who's really
controlling? Yeah, and I really didn't believe a lot of the things you say, and now I still need to prove for myself. We are always argue. We argue about every new point that you bring up because I don't believe it. I'm just someone who really needs to find out for himself what's really going on, and we would have those big arguments, and when I finally go and research it for myself, then I go, hey, things do fit together. This is like a big jigsaw puzzle, and if you really want to know, if you really want to open your eyes and see,
it's out there. You know, it's out there at the library. It's out there. All you have to do is take the time. A lot of people, I know a lot of people our age, you know, they're worried about careers and social life and things like that. But, you know, without what we're fighting for, without what freedom we have, we wouldn't have a social life. We wouldn't have a career to worry about. You know, we would just be mindless robots just, you know, doing our job, going home and living, you know, just basically existing. Yeah, I mean, is that... I don't know if that's what people want to do.
You'll be doing the job that the government tells you to do and going with this person and not that other person because they won't let you. You'll live in a certain place you have to.
You know, one thing I noticed, this generation, the younger generation, I'm 23 years old, and one thing I've noticed is that the enemy is scared of our generation. I attended a Handgun Control Incorporated press meeting in Century City at the Century Towers in Los Angeles. And this is one of the biggest anti-gun groups there is. I believe it is the biggest one. And all the questions that were asked, they didn't ask real questions. The older people, they were just all accepting the fact that guns cause crime and it's the gangs and they're out of control and we need to take all the guns away from everybody. And there were a few of us that were younger, 22, 21, 23 years old, and we started asking some real questions. And they really were backing down, and they didn't know how to answer those questions. And I could see it in the look, and I saw it in Sarah Brady's face, that whenever one of us would stand up, raise our hand to ask a question, that she would avoid us to go to one of the other people.
You know, it's being, you know, all of us were raised in the city. And being from the city, you know, all we get is this bombardment by the media about how guns are bad and gangs, and there's drive-bys here and there, and everyone's robbing everybody else, and guns should only be in the police or the government's hands. And yet when you go out to the rural areas, people had guns. You know, this entire country is founded with everyone supposed to have, you know, a weapon. And the media portrays it as being, you know, associated with crazy people, suicidal maniacs, people like to go into law offices or post offices and shoot up the place. And it doesn't make any sense if you just think about it. This whole country, way back since the time it was founded, everyone had a gun. No one went out and slaughtered everybody. It just doesn't make any sense. And then only suddenly now, in like the last 2-3 years, it was like going, you know, crazy and blasting everybody only because the guns are changed. The guns aren't changed. I mean, bullets always kill people. It just doesn't make any sense when you think about it.
Yeah, just 2 months ago, you know, we're just watching the nightly news, being a sheeple, being told that guns are bad and believing it. And, you know, if you were to say ban all guns, I would have no problem with it because I never owned a gun until last month. You know, I'm finally protecting myself, you know, protecting myself against this new world order, protecting my rights, protecting my freedom. You know, if you were to, you know, 2 months ago, if you were to ban all guns, you know, I'd say no problem. I would be just like the rest of, you know, America. Go ahead, ban it. Guns are evil. Guns are evil because we're brainwashed, and you don't realize it until you see the light. You take a step back and you look at the whole picture.
You know, you never shot a gun before. We kind of like coerced you, huh?
Yeah. You know, they always say, oh, yeah, women, we're always supposed to be against guns, you know, because, you know, we have kids around the house, there's always an accident. But when I realized what was going on and why they wanted to take our guns away,
what's their reason?
They want for us to lose our freedom, take away our firearms, so we'll be left wide open when everything is going around with chaos. We won't be able to protect ourselves.
Without our guns, we're nothing. What are we going to do? Throw rocks at the New World Order, whoever's, you know, involved, coming after us, taking our freedom, trying to lock us up. What are we going to be doing? Throwing rocks? No, without our guns, we're defenseless.
Yeah, and that's about how the NRA says, you know, join the NRA and protect your right to hunt. And they totally avoid the real reason why the Second Amendment is in place, is to protect ourselves, the people, against a tyrannical government. But no one ever tells you that. And every single day on the media, news, every single night, you just get guns are bad, guns are bad, guns are bad. And yet, if you look at real statistics, people in their homes, at their businesses, prevent more crimes than are committed. And they protect their own lives, they protect their own property.
just like without even, most of them without even firing a shot, just because they're armed, they you know, ensured their safety. And that's just at a criminal or a local viewpoint of a crime, not even dealing with a tyrannical government or United Nations troops coming down or foreign troops or anything like that.
Bart, I'd like to mention this to you. When we first started listening to Bill Cooper, when we saw his Sedona, Arizona tape, one of the earlier lectures, we thought all this information, you can only get it if you saw it in, like, top-secret documents, if you worked for the government or something like that. And, you know, Bill said it many times that, you know, this started off as a conspiracy, but now it's wide in the open. And I just wanted to let everybody out there know that this is really easy to research, and all the information's there.
Yeah. You all know how much I've been using a photocopier lately at work, right? All I do is photocopy this and that and front pages of newspapers that show things that we talked about months ago that you can see them taking steps, inching and inching and encroaching on our rights. And in the beginning, I remember everyone used to ask me, like Jerry used to ask me, where do you get this information? Where is it coming from? What kind of source? You know, what's the credibility? What's their background? And it's hard to say, like, well, I get it from here. I get it from there. There's no, like, set thing unless, what, I mean, it's hard to, like, determine credibility. So, oh, I got it from this shortwave show, or I got it up. I got it from a newspaper clipping. I mean, these things just kind of filter in into your daily life, and you just remember them. But what do other people say when they're trying to say a point? They say, it was on the news. Oh, what kind of credibility is that? You know, this is what Tom Brokaw said. It doesn't mean it's true. You know, but people, oh, it's the news. It's Channel 2, you know.
They always say, why would they lie to me?
Yeah. No, they don't lie. They're credible. You know, that's Tom Brokaw.
Well, that's why it's important for us to go out there and investigate on our own. I mean, there's so much information out there for us to learn. But we also have to educate our friends. But we also can educate the older generation, because when I'm at work, I do bring up the subject slowly, and I bring about a current issue, and, you know, they're surprised that I know what's going on in the world. They say, oh, when I was your age, which, you know, I'm 28 right now, they said we weren't that concerned about the world, but they do listen to me because I back it up with facts, I do my research, and, you know, they're impressed. They listen to me. So, I mean, it's important for us to educate everybody out there, not just, you know, people our own age. You know, people are willing to listen if you do your research.
Doesn't it make you really mad that just like 40, 50 years ago, the United States was at its high point? It was the best nation in the world, the world's greatest economy. Everyone was happy. James Dean was the biggest, baddest gang member there was. There was rock and roll. I mean, Elvis was a rebel, you know? Come on. And now that was my father's generation. And now, we're looking at everything turned upside down. And in 200 years, we go from a brand new birth of a nation with the most incredible documents securing our rights, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, all these things that could really give the average person freedom, you know, in all senses of the word. And we achieved the pinnacle in the world in like 150, 170 years. And suddenly, it's upside down. We're heading to be a third world nation. Slavery is coming back. I mean, the New World Order is just crashing down, and people are looking around with blank looks on their face, you know, watching Wheel of Fortune, you know, by a vow.
You know, the one thing I don't understand, and this really, really bothers me and upsets me a lot, is that, you know, you could be talking about the Constitution, which is the most important document ever written, and people will look at you and, oh, that old document, and you know, well, that's no big deal, but, you know, that really, really bothers me, because that's the only document that is keeping you free, and I think everybody better wake up and study that document, because if they studied it, they'd see how important it was, and that if that document was gone, they wouldn't enjoy the world anymore.
And I'm really... Actually, I kind of have a little bit of a animosity, I guess, or negativism to, like, my parents' generation, because they're the ones who kind of let this happen. I mean, the United States, you know, went in with the UN at this time point. They let the politicians, you know, run rampant, and they abdicated their rights
their responsibilities. I mean, and they just kind of like were selfish, and they all they do is care about themselves and go into making lots of money. And now our generation is faced with this economic disaster, as well as our gun rights being taken away, and we know where that's going. It's all falling down on our shoulders. There's no way the debt's ever going to be paid off.
Well, you know, you can't always just blame it on the generation that came before us. Well, I think the media, you know, perpetuates the what they call the Generation X, you know, the lost generation. We don't know where we're going and what direction we're going to take. Well, you know, if more people our age really open their eyes and saw what's out there, they can do a lot. Each individual person can take a stand and learn as much as possible about what's going on out there in the world and what this country is headed and where it, and how we can, if we band together, how we can change things. But, you know, I guess people just tell us that, oh, well, you know, we don't know what we're doing, we have no future, and we just sort of sit here and accept it. And I think a lot of us, a lot of people our age sort of just accept what people tell us.
Well,
and we can't do that. We can't just sit here and accept it. You have to open your eyes and really look for yourself what's really happening. And that's the only way that you can do anything. And each individual person can do something. You know, in great numbers, we can change a lot of things. And that's what people need to realize out there.
Well, that's the clue. We have to learn how to help one another. We can't discriminate against, you know, the blacks, the Chicanos, the Asians. But that's what the one, they want us to be racist against each other. They know that if we all band together, everybody, that we can stop what they're trying to do to our country, to take away our freedom. So we have to learn how to work with one another. We can't be racist. We have to open our eyes.
Well, speaking from a personal view, you know, I currently attend a city college, and I'm constantly, or not only in school, but on TV, you're constantly told how great the national debt is, and how our grandchildren, our grandchildren is going to be paying off this debt, and you know, being told that bank, you know, bankruptcy, you know, has occurred in the past. You know, when I was told this, I was like, what do you mean bankruptcy? You know, we can't go bankrupt. You know, how can we go bankrupt? You know,
right, but we can see it coming. I mean, I work for a bank, and the SNLs are starting to fold up, and all the major banks are merging with one another. That's proof out there. They want major banks to control our money. They want to take away our freedom to choose. I mean, there's a lot of things out there that are pointing to this one world government. We just have to open our eyes.
Just the economy itself. Just take a look. Look at all the jobs that are available, that are available now compared to 10 years ago. Just, you know, 10 years ago, how many jobs are available? Yet, you know, there's a lot of businesses closing, like Janelle was saying. It's just hard to believe.
Yeah, a lot of businesses are going bankrupt. And
they're moving out of the country.
Especially like the lady Elia, and, you know, manipulate the figures as far as like, unemployment up 0.5%. You know, they don't take into account how many people are on welfare, how many people are homeless. They don't account for people who, you know, passed their time period of how long they can draw unemployment. And all those people aren't figured in. And, you know, they manipulate statistics and figures so much. It's pathetic. And we all fall for it.
But, you know, like when I was going to school, it was incredible how, you know, my professors would just say, debt is good. You know, debt is what we need. It's all out of control.
Oh,
Portable hard assets. Without their backing, you may not be listening to the hour of the time right this moment. If you understand what you've been hearing on this program, and if you've been listening to our admonition not to believe what you hear until you have done your own research and can prove it in your own right, listen to everyone, read everything, believe nothing unless you can prove it in your own right. If you've done your research, you should understand by now that we are heading back in to the Dark Ages unless we as a whole people wake up and turn it around. In any case, you owe it to yourself and to your loved ones to prepare yourself financially. You must be able to say to those you care about that you have taken care of the future financially. There's only one investment in the history of the world that has proven to protect the value of your assets, and that is precious metals in its many various forms. Call Swiss America Trading now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it right now. Mention my name, William Cooper, and ask for all the free information that you're entitled to as a listener to the hour of the time. While you're at it, folks, thank them for sponsoring this program and ask them to help you find a way to protect what you've worked all your life to accumulate for the health and comfort and welfare of your family. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. Take a great weight off your shoulders, and you'll be glad that you did.
Why it's deteriorating by its seams. Those of you who are asking, what can I do? Bart, can you answer that question? What type of information, what do they need? How do they go about preparing themselves for this new world order? How to counteract it?
Well, it's hard to tell people a solution to a non-existent problem in their eyes. So first of all, they need to see what the problem is. They need to come to grips with it and stop sticking their head in the sand, pretending that there isn't something wrong, because everyone knows that there's something wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no one out there that says, oh, yeah, things are perfect.
So the first thing is denial. You don't want to believe what you're hearing. All this new information that you never heard before, all of a sudden you're hearing, and it's so easily, you know, it's so easy to just close your ears and not listen and go on with your regular life, the things that you're doing, the monotonous things that are meaningless on a daily basis that I was doing on a personal level no longer mean anything to me.
Of course, because you fit the mold. I mean, you're like everybody else, and you're not a rebel, and you're not an outcast, and your peers, you know, you're just like them, and you go and do the regular things like everyone else does, and you don't try and cause waves. And you don't want to be labeled as a crazy, you know, conspiracy freak. Who wants to talk about boring things like the Federal Reserve and the Constitution? No one even knows what the hell to talk about with the Constitution, except for some old document written on weird color paper, you know?
You know, a lot of people don't want to bring this up, especially women out there. It's depressing to hear what's going to happen. I mean, like, sure.
Well, how about, I mean, for me, you know, 2 months ago, I was just like Bill when he was a teenager, and the only thing I was worried about was Susie. She'd be sitting next to me.
Yeah, but face the truth, I mean, like now, Sharon and Mike are married, but what's going to happen to their future and maybe the family they want to bring up?
I know, we've been married for about 4 months now, and, you know, I'm 21 years old, my husband's 28 years old, and just like last year, you know, I was just, you know, going to school, you know, working. And my whole goal was just to graduate from school, get a good career, start a family, you know, hopefully get a nice home. And now all the money that we're saving up from our jobs is just going to survival kits, you know, trying to prepare ourselves for what's going to happen. I mean, it's, you know, as far as food-wise, as far as our vehicle and getting some coins, I mean, it's just really depressing knowing that I might never get that dream that I always thought I would get. You know?
Aren't you glad that you now know? That
oh, yes, I'm very grateful. Thank you, Barb. Yes, we owe our life to you, Barb, for awakening all of us up.
Yeah. I was in a way the same way. I didn't save my money. I would just spend it. And now that I've kind of opened my eyes, it's like, I'm sorry I didn't save. I don't have, you know, the money right now to buy the things that I need to survive later on, the way things are going to be. So now it's like, well, okay, my next paycheck. You know, it used to be clothes or whatever, and now it's like, okay, bullets or, you know, food or just something, you know, that'll prepare me for what's going to happen.
You know, a lot of people might think that, hey, you know, you're kind of crazy to do all this.
Yeah, we're all crazy.
You're oddballs fighting the system. You're going to be using those guns to harm people. Oh, to kill people. You know, we're just fanatics. But are we? Are we fanatics?
No.
What they don't realize is that we're forced to do this. This is our last resort.
One of the important things that I think we all did is that we went out and we proved, you know, we researched the information and proved it to be true to ourselves. And I think that's very, very important, because when you go out and see it for yourself in books and in magazines or wherever you get the information, it means so much more when you have it for yourself. When you talk to somebody about something, if, you know, if they don't believe you, you can grab a book off your shelf and show it to them in their own writing. It just means a lot when you can prove it to yourself. And once you have this information, I think there's no turning back. I could never turn on Three's Company on the TV or Wheel of Fortune or do those cheapo things like I used to do a year or two ago. I just think once you see it for yourself, it really opens your eyes and you can see all this is true.
Have you noticed how when you try to tell someone about this information, they'll listen for a little bit, and then I know it. They know that I'm right, and they don't want to hear it anymore, because if they listen any longer, they have to face the reality. And if they acknowledge that they are smart enough, that they do understand, and they see all the signs, and they know where it's headed, then they're going to be forced to do something, to take action.
Yeah,
but they don't want to do that. They don't want that responsibility. So they just ignore it, and they say, well, I didn't know, you know.
Yeah, it's so sad because, you know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of my friends are college educated.
business school, law school, you know, med school. These are very intelligent people who spent many, many years of their lives studying.
Learning how to work.
Learning, yeah, and they don't want to take the time out to learn what can affect their future, a future that might not allow them to practice whatever profession that they choose. And they don't think about that. They're just worried about what's going on now, you know, what's their income going to be now, what position they're going to get next week, and you know, what car can they buy, and what trips they can take, and, you know, those are meaningless if you don't have your basic rights, if you don't have the freedoms that the Constitution guarantees.
Yeah, where are you going to go in your car?
You know, and I mean, it's just all around us. You know, I was listening to a radio show the other day about, you know, national health care, and it's incredible the people who call in. They say, well, you know, they're accepting what you know, Hillary Clinton tells them. It's like, well, you have to accept it. You know, if you don't like it, that's too bad. You know, what happened to the freedom of choice? What if I don't want to join? What if I don't want to be a part of the national health care? What if I, you know, I like my health care system right now, my health care, and why do I have to do something I don't want? Wasn't this nation based on choice, freedom of choice, and being able to do whatever you wanted to do and not having to be forced to do
Don't call ways. Don't call ways.
Rebel.
You know, I think it's incredible how people can just watch the news and they're being told that we're talking about the health care, that oh, this is going to be great, and Clinton saying how great it's going to be for everyone, and people, you know, just say that, oh, this is going to be a great idea, and because I heard this on the news, that this is what it's going to be. You know, they don't realize that the healthcare is a 1,300-page bill, and they haven't read the whole thing, so really they know nothing about what it is. And you know, people have to stop believing and just start looking for themselves.
Definitely. You know, it's all around, and you know, just not healthcare or. There's, you know, this recent assault ban. I mean, if I'm an honest, law-abiding citizen, if I want a certain type of gun and I don't hurt anyone, why can't I have it? You know, who are you to tell me I can't have it? I mean, I'm not doing anything. I'm not harming anyone. I'm not intruding on anyone else's rights. If they don't want a gun, well, fine.
What right?
They don't have.
Hey, but you might have the itch to go kill somebody.
Oh, really?
We thought that you were like.
You know, but they assume that we're just all crazy people and we don't know what's best for us. It's the Big Brother scenario. You know, it's, you know, you're stupid. You're too stupid to know what's best for you. You have to listen to us. You know, these. Infallible people in Washington, these infallible politicians who do no wrong. Well, if you really open your eyes, hey, what's really going on with these politicians? I mean, they're scamming the people of America, and they're you know, taking money from the congressional post office and you know, from their own districts. They're spending.
Yeah, but who's really stupid? Us for keep voting them back in, or them?
Well, you know what they say. It's always, you know, our congressperson is the one who's doing the best job. You know, it's always the other congressperson in the other districts who aren't doing anything. So, but you know, man is fallible. We're all capable of a lot of evil things. I mean, just look around the world. Look in. You know, in Bosnia, look in Rwanda. I mean, you know, 100,000 people. I mean, this is what the, you know, the Red Cross is telling us. 100,000 people were killed in a matter of what, a month, 2 months, and we don't even blink an eye. You don't think that can happen here?
Who's gonna blink an eye for us? We have to do it ourselves.
It seems that no one cares. You know, people can die all over the world, and there could be little wars here and there. But no one cares unless it affects them personally. And once it affects them, then they'll probably start caring. But they need to start worrying and preparing now.
Yeah, by then it might be too late.
Yeah, you notice how, on the news, in Germany there was a bombing in a club and 50 people died. Boom. But United Nations blows up, oh, there's lots of, you know, everything going crazy now. It's bombings every single day in Europe.
Yeah, but they want to try to hide that from us, from what's happening in third world countries, because they don't want us to think that it might happen to us one day. So the media, you know, just gives us what we want. They said, oh, yeah, they like to watch football and basketball games. We'll give them that, and we'll give them the weather. Why should we tell them what's going on in the world? It's just the bad stuff. People don't want to hear that news. They don't want to be depressed.
Yep. You think about it. Oh, there's always bombings in Europe, and there's the IRA and all this. When I was a sheeple, I never even thought about what are they so upset about? They need to blow things up and kidnap people and shoot people. And what's the IRA about? And what's their big beef? I never gave a damn. You know, I never stopped to check it out. They're just a bunch of crazy terrorists. They just like to blow things up or something. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Gee, can it have something to do with freedom?
Yeah. Why do we have wars? Huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look throughout history of man, it just stumps me to talk to people and they say, oh, well, it can never happen in the U.S. Well, the U.S. is just another government throughout history. What makes us different is our Constitution that protects individual rights. I mean, throughout history, if you really look back in history of man, every great society, every great government that's ever existed, you know, whether it be, Greek or Roman Empire, it's always it boils down to the corruption of who's in charge. And why couldn't it happen here? I mean, it's always happened. Why can't
it is happening?
Yeah, and people don't accept that. They go, oh, no, it can never happen here, because and they say that in the same word, and they go, well, and they say, well, the Constitution, well, that's an old document. It really is not that important anymore.
It's
and they don't realize, and they don't realize how it's connected. It can't happen here because of the Constitution and what it does to protect our citizens.
What does it do? Mike, what do you think?
Well, the Constitution just guarantees individual rights. And if this document were old, which is ridiculous, then people wouldn't have these individual freedoms, the freedom of speech, the right to protect themselves against a tyrannical government, protection against random searches, and on and on and on.
Well, speaking on a personal level, like I said, when I first heard this, the first phase was denial. I don't want to hear it. I do not want to hear what you have to say. And I was kind of like forced into it by this. Yeah, and eventually, you know, I started doing some research and you know, it all started making sense. And you know, I was overwhelmed by all this information and you know, I tried to share this with other family members and especially my girlfriend, and I swear the first night that I told her, the next day she called me and she told me, she cried the whole night. She didn't, you know, she did not want to hear it. She was scared of this whole incident. Thanks to Bart again.
Oh, thank you. I almost cried myself.
Yeah, he makes the girls cry, but it's okay.
The truth hurts,
and go ahead, cry, because when I learned about all this information, it just shocked me. I didn't want to believe it, and then when you do believe it, it starts sinking in, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is what's going to happen. But you have to let it sink in, and you have to cry or scream or whatever to release it out of your system, and then you can accept and go and do the research yourself and then to educate other people.
I think we need to redirect ourselves in the right direction. I think we're being astrayed in different directions, and we need a driving force, and we need to know the truth, and the truth will set us free.
You need to stay focused and not get drawn off into all these little side arguments and little details and Nancy Kerrigan and Bobbitt and all this crap. Throwing TV to sidetrack, you know, and all these dumb little talk shows with, you know, German Nazi midget women who wear combat boots, you know.
That are prostitutes on Saturday.
You know, Bart, we were talking about this earlier, but when I first got that video, the Panama Deception, and I told you I watched it, and I couldn't go to sleep for a long time because it made me sick to my stomach. And I think when you watched it, you felt the same way, didn't you?
Because then I watched it like a week later, and I couldn't go to sleep till like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Now, doesn't it really upset you that you could take that tape and give it to somebody, and they'll watch it, and they'll just give it back to you and say, "Oh, that's too bad."
Yeah, and so that comes down your block, and then they'll, like, crap their pants.
Or when they start knocking down your door and start taking your family members away. I mean, I know someone personally who's from El Salvador, and right now, just last week, the local police broke into one of their family home down in El Salvador, kicked in the door, dragged out one of the brother-in-laws, and shot him right there in front of his wife and kids. I mean, if you're crazy to think it can't happen here. It will happen if you don't do anything.
And the only thing that's stopping that is our weapon, because whoever, you know, has a weapon makes the rules. I mean, you got gold and I got a gun. You don't have any gold.
Yeah, whoever who has the gun, who has the power. And, I mean, you have to go out there and talk to people. You have to prepare. You have to know what you need in the future, you know, supplies, not just weapons, but food, and just talk to people. The only way is talk to people, try to organize, try to form your own group, discuss this, discuss what's really going on. And if you really look and if you open your eyes, it's out there. And you know, if you want to keep them closed, well, you know, I really feel sorry for you, because a lot of bad things are going to happen.
You know, when I've always believed this, that your true friend and the true personality of a person comes out only when they are pushed to the limit and put against the grinding wheel and put under the fire, so to speak. And this New World Order is going to do it. You're going to really find out who is on your side and who's really going to back you up when everything comes falling down. And I'm glad everyone here is here.
Yeah, but we don't want to wait and see what's going to happen. We have to start immediately. Everyone has to start.
It's a good idea that all the crazy notions out there, all the conspiracy ideas, just think that if it's only 5% correct, it's well worth it your time to research it and find out. And if you think it's wrong or BS, check it out and prove it's wrong, and then you can be happy and pat yourself on the back that you proved it wrong and that you were right in the beginning. But if it got a 5% that's right, it's well worth it for you to check it out.
And New Generation X people out there, you do have a goal. You do have a direction to go to. You have to start looking, not just taking in what people tell you, because that's what you need to do in order to survive out there and make this country what it's supposed to be.
We need to stop being followers and start being leaders. As you can see, folks, there's no need to worry about our young people. Just help them, teach them, open their eyes, and they will find the right direction. Good night, and God bless you all. This is the Voice of Freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, the broadcast you just heard was not a bunch of right-wing, neo-Nazi, white, skin-headed, constitutionalist, fundamentalist, Christian, wacko, gun-toting, militia, whatever. When you hear exactly who they are, it's going to shock you. These young men and women, one of them is a Jewish person. The rest are all young Asian
Americans. You see, there is one common bond amongst all Americans, ladies and gentlemen, and these young people know it. It's freedom. It is freedom. It has always been freedom. It will always be freedom. And if you try to make it anything else, you will help to destroy this country with those who want to take it down and establish their one world, totalitarian, socialist, utopian government. You can take your choice. I've already made mine. I've already sealed my fate. Don't you think it's about time that you did the same? The future belongs to the young people of America. Whether you're young or old, you had better decide what you want it to be. Do you want these young people to grow up and live as a slave in a socialist New World Order? Or do you want them to live free with responsibility, with the opportunities that this nation has always provided for its citizens? If you're young, you'd better join the fight, because you're going to be around when it takes place. And if you're my age, ladies and gentlemen, you better join the fight if you love your children and your grandchildren to ensure that their future is a bright, free, wonderful future. That's why the president in a White House memo named me, William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America, because I tell you the truth, no matter who it hurts or helps, even if it hurts me. That's all you'll ever hear on the Hour of the Time and on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Stay tuned now, ladies and gentlemen, for Michael Cottingham with his excellent broadcast, Quest for Health.